As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
And welcome into the Bob Pompeiani Show. I am not Bob Pompeiani. I'm not nearly as well dressed. I do not have the announcer, TV guy, radio guy voice that he does. But I am sitting in the radio studio. And happy to talk to you today. I'm Jason Mackey. Good morning. Good Saturday to you. Thank you to Donnie Football. Thank you to Ty Polk producing in there behind the glass. We'll hope to have just as fun of a time without Mr. Pompeiani. I love the format of Bob's show, and I want to maintain that. It's always very listener-driven. Bob has a lot of phone calls each and every Saturday, so we're going to continue that. 412-928-9370. Make sure you air your opinions on Pittsburgh sports. We will get them. We will have a great discussion back and forth. There's a lot going on. As Ty said, it's Paul Skeens Day. Happy Skeens Day to all of you who celebrate. I'll actually be heading down to the ballpark myself after this show. Excited about it. In part of the show, I'm going to be with you from 11 until 1, and then 1 until 3. I guess in a little bit of a different capacity. I feel like the substitute teacher for Pomp between 11 and 1, and then I'm my own person from 1 to 3. We'll offer a little bit more in-depth discussion on Skeens. I want to talk a little bit about the Paul Skeens era, not for any other reason than it's his bobblehead day. Why not? Let's talk a little bit about what we've seen so far. How this should be working with Skeens and the Pirates, the magnitude of what he's done so far. What do you think about any of that? Once again, I want to wrap the first 2 hours of our time together around a lot of calls. In a minute, I'm going to get to a couple prompts, but if you have something on your mind and want to air it, certainly welcome to do that. We are less than a week out from the Steelers and the rest of the NFL drafting, of course. It's getting more and more interesting, more and more real, at least as far as I'm concerned. Jerry Dulac, one of my coworkers at the Post-Gazette, has a piece out right now essentially connecting dots to the Steelers taking a defensive lineman. And I was pleased to read that this morning. I think that makes a lot of sense. I think that's exactly what the Steelers should be doing. Another one of my colleagues at the Post-Gazette, Paul Zeiss, has a column, which he actually referenced me, which I enjoyed, but saying the Steelers are doing the exact right thing with Aaron Rodgers. I'm not sure I agree with that. I don't think they're doing the right thing with Aaron Rodgers. I was understanding to a point with their patience. My patience has sort of run out. And Paul's argument was that where do they need to hurry up and go, basically? You know, who are they going to turn to at this point? Why do they need to tell Rodgers no? What other direction are they really going to head in? Well, a couple, honestly. One of them could involve the draft. If you don't have Rodgers, if he's out, maybe you want to use that first-round pick differently. Maybe you go with the Jackson Dart, who apparently the Steelers have a first-round grade on. That was also from Jerry's story. Maybe you go with Shedeur Sanders. I don't know. I mean, those options are painted as not so realistic, according to what Jerry Dulac wrote again this morning in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. And I don't have a problem with that, but I'd like to know if Aaron Rodgers is in, because I'm going a different direction. Then if the draft breaks in a funky way, I want to have that intel. And the more I think about Rodgers, and I'm not going to get hung up on the Rodgers thing, I swear. It's just it's an interesting inflection point with the team right now. It's sort of crossing with the draft, which is another big discussion point. I just don't understand why the Steelers are going to keep tolerating this. It's not worth it. It's not going to make the team discernibly better. I guess you could take that logic and say that's why you do wait it out. But you have a bridge quarterback. Rodgers is also a bridge quarterback. A better one, potentially, than Mason Rudolph. Potentially. I just don't see it as being worth the hassle. But the draft, writ large, is something I think is going to be a fascinating exercise. It always is. What route the Steelers go. I think if you cobble together their visits, their intentions, where they've spent their time, what's reported, what leaks out, you can sort of get an idea what we're going for here, right? I think so. Again, if we talk about defensive tackles, interior defensive linemen, however you want to phrase it, you know, I'm looking at Derek Harmon from Oregon, Kenneth Grant from Michigan, Walter Nolan from Ole Miss. I'd be stunned at this point if Mason Graham from Michigan, probably the better of their two big boys, is still around. Just doesn't seem that way. Those two were options. Austin Bechtold and I yesterday were talking about at least one mock draft that didn't have a wide receiver going up high. Luther Burton, Matthew Golden, Emeka Ebuka theoretically could be options there. Do you look running back? I don't in the first round. I would much rather circle back and do that in the third, fourth, or fifth. I wouldn't be opposed, and it seems like the ship has sailed on this from a Steelers standpoint, of getting back into the second round. But they're apparently viewing that second round pick as DK Metcalf, which I can't really disagree with. I like the Metcalf move, not going to argue with it. And if it takes my second round pick to do it, oh well. So, all right. That's where we're going to pivot to some questions. Want to hear your thoughts. What should the Steelers do in the draft? Positionally, who should they stay away from? Should they trade back? Should they jump on a quarterback? Defensive tackle, who do you like among that group? Running backs, any thoughts you might have on the draft? I've got a lot. We'll get through them as we're together today. Secondarily, what should the Steelers do with Aaron Rodgers? Should they continue to wait this out, like my colleague at the Post-Gazette, Paul Zeiss, has argued? Or should they just cut bait? And that was what I wrote. I think somebody here needs to say enough is enough. Aaron, we need to know. We need to know now. We need to know before the draft. If you can't make a decision, I completely understand and respect that, but we need to know, in or out. Where do you stand on it? The Penguins cleaned out their lockers yesterday. When I was filling in on the midday show, I had Matt Venzel on from the Post-Gazette to get some recent intel from up there. It's going to be another long summer for the Pens. Third straight season not making the playoffs. Some minor news, although I didn't expect them to say anything different. Mike Sullivan was asked about his intentions next season, and he said he 100% intends to coach the Pittsburgh Penguins. Boy, that would have been a banger of a news conference if he was standing at the podium and said, nope, think I'm out. You know, past 2 years I've been courted by other teams and I brushed them aside. I think this is the year I'm going to listen. You know what? I've also been thinking about working for Geico. That's an option. Maybe getting into retail. I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm just joking around, but it would have been funny if Sullivan answered that question a different way. Obviously, it would have been news. That being said, what do the Penguins need to do this summer? The Penguins have several areas, several places to circle. For me, that's goaltender, defense, specifically with Erik Karlsson. Obtaining as much salary cap space as possible. I have a column running in tomorrow's Post-Gazette about the links that the Penguins should make to the Capitals, or what the Penguins could learn from the Washington Capitals. Talked a little bit about this yesterday, but if you go through their roster and look at how those players were acquired, Kyle Dubas can do the same. You can go throughout the NHL and find a player who's being misused the way Pierre-Luc Dubois was with the Los Angeles Kings. Now, that's a hefty gamble, but you can do it. You know, where a player who was on a compromised contract situation like Jacob Chychrun and swoop in and get him. The Capitals did a really good job of identifying talent, executing smart trades, smart free agent signings. It's just good sports business. So what do the Penguins need to do in your mind? And secondarily, do you have the confidence in Kyle Dubas to do it? I go back and forth on that. I know as the person sitting here, I'm supposed to have all the answers. I don't. Because if I look at Kyle Dubas and the work that he's done so far, there's some good and there's a lot bad, frankly. And Tristan Jarry's extension was a whiff. Bringing in Ryan Graves for what Dubas did was a whiff. Putting together a blockbuster trade for Erik Karlsson was a whiff. Riley Smith, same deal, wasn't a good fit here for whatever reason. And so now we're supposed to just blank slate it and trust that Dubas is going to get every one of these moves moving forward. To say it how Mike Sullivan would, that moving forward, he'd get all of them correct. It's fair to have some doubts. And there's a lot of work for Dubas here. He should theoretically be able to scrounge up some salary cap space. He's done an excellent job accumulating assets, 30 draft picks over the next 3 years, but how do the Penguins spend them? So anyway, my Penguins questions to you. What moves do they need to make? What's your confidence level in Kyle Dubas? Last but not least, let's talk a little baseball. I want to talk again on my portion of the show more about Paul Skenes. For you, where does he rank in the lists of athletes or the list of athletes you've seen in person? We've been lucky. I'm only 41, but I've seen some greatness. If you're 60, if you're 70, you've seen a heck of a lot more than me. Where does he rank for you? I'd honestly be more excited to hear from the younger generation here because the younger generation, yeah, he's probably pretty darn up there. But we've been so blessed, so lucky in this city to see some great athletes. Where does Paul Skenes rank for you? And the last one, Ben Cherington talked yesterday. We'll get into some of that, have some audio to play from his meeting with reporters. One of the things he emphasized was having some patience with the offense. Do you believe it? Do you have any trust whatsoever that the Pirates' offense will turn it around? I do, believe it or not, and I'm going to explain to you why. Might be kind of out of left field. Maybe you think I lost my mind. I don't know, and I don't care. But there's some metrics here. There's some interesting numbers behind what the Pirates are doing at the plate that would tell you not all is lost, that this can change. It's not saying it's great. It's not saying they're where they should be. But I'm just saying there's a case that can be made that the offense is due a turnaround. I want to hear your opinions. Again, in the spirit of the typical Bob Pompieni show, 412-928-9370. Again, 412-928-9370. I am Jason Mackey, in for Bob until 1. I'm going to stick here from 1 to 3 as well and host my own show. Thanks so much for finding us on this beautiful Saturday, a Skeens Day here in Pittsburgh. Don't go anywhere. More of your calls when we come back on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Welcome back to the Bob Pompieni Show. Bob is out on vacation this week. I'm Jason Mackey filling in for him until 1 o'clock. I'll have my own show from 1 to 3, but thanks so much for finding us, keeping the tradition alive. A lot of your calls, airing your opinions here on 93.7 The Fan. We'll get to those in just 1 second. First, I want to tell you that Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. You can visit them at southhillskia.net. All right, let's hit those phone lines. George in Ligonier has been waiting patiently. Thanks so much, George. I appreciate it. You're on the Fan. What's on your mind?
Morning.
Just morning.
The Aaron Rodgers thing. If they play with them, they'll get 1 year, maybe a playoff win, maybe, and then they'll be right back where they were at the start of this year, looking for a quarterback. So they should just go ahead and ride with what they got and then look for the quarterback next year. I think Mason will do fine.
I do too, George. How would you handle the – I mean, I'm sure you either read the comments or watched it of Aaron Rodgers on McAfee. What would you tell Aaron at this point? Just say, hey, man, we're out. Thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, go ahead and enjoy retirement.
Yeah. Man, it looks like that's where his head was at, that's for sure.
Yeah, his head and I think his heart. So, you know, he doesn't want to babysit, so to speak, other players and all that. Yeah, I think they should just go ahead and go with what they have and move on.
I agree with you, George. Thanks so much for the call, man. Appreciate it. You know, George brings up a really good point I'm going to riff on just for a second here, and then we'll get to Dave and North Strabane. We're talking about Aaron Rodgers coming in here and being a potential mentor to somebody else, right? Like, that's the definition of a bridge quarterback. I don't dislike Aaron Rodgers as a person. I think some of this stuff kind of gets overcooked in the media, too. But how much of a mentor do we really think he's going to be? Like, if they draft Shedeur Sanders, I'm sure Aaron Rodgers will do some things to help, but I mean, I don't see him as like the veteran quarterback whisperer to the young guy, especially if he commits to playing for a team. Like if his head gets there and he's all in and whatever, and maybe he thinks there's more, I don't know, money to be made, prestige to be gained or whatever. Do we really think he's going to be that much of a mentor? Or is he going to be kind of territorial and standoffish and want this spotlight for himself? I don't know. That's just a way the thinking sometimes breaks down for me when we talk about Aaron Rodgers being a bridge option. If you can say, look, Aaron Rodgers is the best option they have to get the ball to a pretty good list of wide receivers, as long as you can protect him and have a running game, I can go with you there. And if he's going to play for $10 million, whatever, pretty good bargain. But there's just been some flaws in the logic here. All right, let's go to Dave in North Strabane, hear from him more than me. Dave, what's on your mind?
Hi, Jason. I want to congratulate you on your article last year where you totally ripped into nutting. Okay, you said that in the 17 years he's owned the team, only Miami is lower in payroll. He has destroyed the Pirates. This is not the Pittsburgh Pirates I grew up with. This is Bob Nutting's Pirates. And I absolutely hate him, and I can't wait to get rid of him, one way or the other. And that's all I got to say.
All right, Dave, I appreciate it, man. Yeah,
okay.
Thanks, man. I can take that a different direction. Because, I mean, we can sit here and hammer home the idea of people being frustrated with Bob Nutting, and I hear about that on a daily basis, and I'm not going to tell you how to feel anyway. I mean, within reason, you know, feel how you want. This isn't a defense. This is just reality. The Pirates can win without having an exorbitant major league payroll. spending on major league players, I should say. And we're seeing an example this weekend of teams that do it. Now, maybe that's all the more reason to get upset about how this ownership regime has handled itself, and that's completely fair. Because you say, look, we've stuck this out for a long, long time with no changes. We've tried to emulate small market teams, and we failed at that. And if you're mad about that, I don't begrudge you one bit. All I'm saying is that it is possible to win Major League Baseball without spending a ton of money. And there are certain precepts that need to inform your thinking or guide your way of doing things. And the Cleveland Guardians, the opponent at PNC Park this afternoon, do those very well. They identify pitching. They bring up pitching. When they lose pitching, they're able to backfill very well. Same thing on the position player side. You know, they do a very good job of obtaining talent internationally. They've drafted well. Their development system is solid. They generally have a identifiable or sturdy team concept. You know, they're not going to outslug teams, but they're fundamentally sound. They've also built really, really good bullpens, which is something you can do in baseball on the cheap. And the Pirates have not done that well enough. They haven't done any of those things well enough. So, I mean, you can get mad at Bob Nutting, and that's totally fair. That would be a horrible way to make a living if I'm going to, you know, sit here as a media member and not give honest criticism or say that, like, he's done a great job. Objectively, he is not. And I think that was the point I made in the article that the caller was referencing. Objectively, like, take money and context out of it. It just hasn't been enough winning. There hasn't been nearly enough winning. You can look at other small market teams in the time that Bob has owned the Pirates, and there's the Guardians, the Rays, the A's, and I don't have this research in front of me. I should pull it up during the break. But they've accumulated something like 13 division titles in the span that the Pirates don't have won. I forget how many playoff appearances. Again, I'm going from memory, but it is possible to do those things. The Pirates just simply haven't done it. So, anyway, I get the point. We'll move on to some more calls here in a minute. First, I want to tell you the fan text line. It's brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And again, just an outline, keeping true with the Bob Pompeiani show format. Your calls from 11 to 1. I'll be here until 3. Some of the ones that I suggested, you're obviously free to weigh in on your own, but what should the Steelers do in the NFL draft? What should they do about Aaron Rodgers? When you look at the Penguins, what sort of needs do they have this summer? What moves would you like to see them make? And do you have confidence in Penguins president of hockey operations, Kyle Dubas, to make those moves? Baseball-wise, I was asking about Paul Skenes. Where does he rank in the list of athletes that you've seen? And as far as Ben Cherington talking yesterday, talking about the Pirates' offense, preaching patience, saying they believe that they're going to turn it around, do you believe that? What do you think about their offense so far? Let's go back out to the phones. Mike in Elizabeth Township wants to weigh in. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Jason, I misunderstood. I thought you wanted to talk about Skenes and compare, if I ever saw anybody compared to Skenes.
Yeah, we can talk about whatever you want, man. This is like a by request show, whatever you want to talk about.
All right, well, in the early to mid-60s, I at Forbes Field, I saw Sandy Koufax and Drysdale and Gibson.
Man.
Koufax was the best. I had all their autographs. Naturally, they all got lost. But Skenes got to go.
Koufax, Bob Gibson, and Don Drysdale's autographs, and you lost them?
Clemente's, Stargell's, I had them all.
Mike.
On a little white. Hey, man, I'm 73. I think my mother threw them away. I don't know.
I know. I'm just giving you crap.
That's cool. No, I know. But serious, but Koufax, he was something else. 100 miles an hour, and he had the biggest curveball that I've ever seen. So that's my comments on that.
I dig it. What do you think Koufax could do against today's hitters?
He'd strike him out.
Yeah.
Because of the curveball. The curveball was exceptional. You know, I'm sure you could look and see. It was a big old sweeping thing.
Yeah.
And also, one other thing I saw, I think it was in the mid-60s, the Pirates beat Koufax and Drysdale in the same doubleheader.
Get out. In the mid-60s?
Yeah. In mid-60s, yes, sir.
All right, you're going to give me a research project for a break here. We'll see if I can and find it.
Yeah, it was like 64, 65. I'm not sure. I don't remember. But
that's all right. I can look at Sandy's game log and see how many times he's faced the Pirates and then narrow that down for there being a doubleheader. So it was Koufax, and who was the other one?
Don Drysdale.
Drysdale, that's right. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I'm writing that down.
They used to let us at Forbes Field come right down to the railing, and the players would all come over and just sign.
Yeah.
Pirates, it was really nice. It was really a nice experience.
Cool deal, man. Thanks for the call, Mike. I appreciate it. So Paul Skeens, compare him to Sandy Koufax, Don Drysdale, Bob Gibson. I won't argue with that. I mean, that's it's pretty cool. Mike is making me jealous. I wish I could have seen that. I'm 41, obviously not old enough to do it, but a lifelong baseball nut, and I would just – That would feel like the coolest thing in the world. All right, let's go to Brad in Brookline. Let's talk about something. What's up, Brad?
Hey, what's going on? I was just curious to your reasoning, your thinking behind your season prediction of the Pirates winning 85 games when they made no improvements to the roster.
Yeah, I momentarily lost my mind, Brad. No, my reasoning. My reasoning is that I think they can win that way, and I think they still could win 84 games. My reasoning behind it is starting pitching, which we've seen, a potentially good bullpen, which we've seen, better fundamentals, which we haven't seen, and there's really no excuse for them not improving, and I think the offense being good enough, which I do think if you look at some of their underlying metrics, you can make a case for it. So I know you disagree with me, and that's okay, but that was my thinking behind it.
Fair enough.
Anything else, Brad? How many do you think they're going to win?
Oh, I'd be surprised if they get probably the last year's total, maybe a game or two over.
Okay.
The pitching's not sustainable. That's not going to keep up. You think about guys like Falter and what's his name? I'm drawing a blank. They second half imploded last year. It's just the starting pitching's not sustainable.
Okay.
Besides scheme.
Yeah. All right, Brad, appreciate it.
I'm not a big fan of Keller. I just not am. Never was.
Okay. Hey, you're
have a good day.
You too, man. You're entitled to your opinion. No doubt. I mean, the reality with the Pirates is it's going to be there until they change it. People are going to have their doubts until they give you a reason to believe. And they haven't done that. This regime hasn't done it. So, I don't know. Maybe I need to articulate myself better in some ways, but you know, me saying it's possible for it to happen is not saying it's going to happen. That being said, I don't see why this team should be better. Last year's team should be better. If you look at last year's team objectively, it wins 78 games, 76 games. I think 76 games. I always mix the two up in my head. I'm not going to look it up while I'm talking. Either way, it wasn't good enough. Yeah, 76. You got a 10-game losing streak where they had poor bullpen performance. The offense did them no favors. The manager did not do a good job in late-game pitching decisions, and their fundamentals stunk. If you could correct those things, that doesn't happen. If you correct those things over the balance of a season, that doesn't happen. If you go from 76 to 84, that's an 8-win improvement, which I could look at their season and say, there's 8 games in there that they lost that they should have won for a variety of reasons. Bad fundamentals, bad managing, bad execution, all that stuff. If they won 84 games last year, didn't make the playoffs, didn't do a lot in the offseason, I don't think the anger exists that exists now, which is completely valid. I'm not saying anybody is wrong for feeling upset about it. What I'm saying is that why they have struggled is correctable. They should be able to make routine plays. They should be able to have a bullpen that performs better than the one did last year. Shoot, we've seen it since April 7th. They have the lowest ERA in Major League Baseball. Again, not a low sample size, but it is still possible. All right. Let's get back to the phones. I don't want to be giving too long of a sermon here. Brad in Gibsonia. What's up, man? You're on the Fan.
Hey, Jason. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. Hey, haven't called in before, but I did kind of want to piggyback on all the pirate talk, and I'm curious what your opinion is as to why in the world, with the report earlier this week that Bob Nutting was furious about, you know, where things stood and so on and so forth, why they are so adverse to actually making some changes. And not just that, but like things like the players bringing, you know, pushing guys down, bringing guys up. I know they don't have a lot of options, but why aren't they experimenting with other players?
Brad, I'm not trying to be a jerk. I don't understand what you're asking. Like, do you mean, like, why are they so patient running it out with the guys they have now?
Yeah, why is Sawinski there?
Oh,
yeah. I mean, he's inherently awful. And, you know, if Nutting, forget spending, if Nutting wants to rest on his laurels and you know, continue to just spend as minimal as he can, that's one thing. But why aren't you at least trying other players?
Okay.
Why stick with that?
I got you. Thank you for clarifying. Again, I wasn't trying to be a jerk or cause a fight. I just didn't understand what you were asking.
No.
I don't have a good answer for Sawinski. I think they're botching this. I don't like the way they're handling it at all. I mean, he needs to play every day, and he shouldn't be playing up here right now. I thought the Cincinnati series.
I don't doubt that he's a good guy and everything, but I'm just saying, you know, they keep losing, and you know, now's the time to actually experiment if you're going to do anything. I mean, with Chandler eventually coming up, which will be great. Hopefully he's great when he comes up here, but they're going to be wasting pitching talent when you have a guy hitting below 200 being tried out there every day. And I don't think that the manager, you know, is making great decisions either. I think that could be a welcome change, but you can't pin it all on him when the players have to do their job.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, Brad. Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. I want to tie up one loose end that he brought up at the beginning of the call about Bob Nutting and his patience. And I guess I don't have a great answer for you other than to say that I think one of the many reasons people can and do critique Bob Nutting is that he waits too long, and that he shows too much loyalty to people. And I think he's done that here. I think he keeps believing and keeps thinking that this is going to get better. He's probably being told that, you know, this is how the sample size is going to even out. I don't think it's because you can certainly criticize him for being cheap. I'm not defending that, but I don't think it's because he's afraid to pay Derek Shelton and Ben Cherington to not work. He paid Clint Hurdle and Neil Huntington a lot of money to not work. It was less than he would have to pay right now. You might disagree with me there, and that's fine. I think it's more believing that they're close to getting there, or wanting to believe this, or that being the path of least resistance, and maybe being fooled into thinking that there's progress being made. I think you and I probably look at this and have some doubts about it, certainly. But if I'm answering the question from what I think Bob thinks, that's the answer. All right, let's take one more call, and I have to get to a break. The rest of you, please hang on if you want to air your opinions. I do have to, again, get to a commercial break, but let's go to Brad and Punxsutawney. You're on the Fan. What's up, Brad?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. My comparisons to people I've watched with Skeens, Clemente, Stargell, Gretzky, Lemieux.
You're naming like every elite athlete ever, Brad. Come on.
Those are the five that I got to see and would compare them to. And we're actually on our way down to the game today. It's our first time we've ever seen Skeens pitch. So, you know, we're kind of excited. But like I said, those would probably be the most. And they'd probably throw Jack Lambert in there, too. That'd be another good name to throw in with them.
So Clemente, Lemieux, Gretzky, Lambert. Who did I miss?
Stargell.
Stargell. Did you have one more?
And I think that might have been it.
Okay. All right. When are you getting in, Brad? When will you get to the park?
We're going to get there early. We're almost to the city now. We're going to eat lunch and then, you know, try to get in early. And because I think there's only 20,000 of those bobbleheads, and I think everybody in the world will come down to one game.
Yeah, you got to get your bobblehead. When you get in there, do yourself a favor. Go out in the outfield and watch Skeens warm up. He'll start about 45 minutes before first pitch. It's a real experience if you can pull it off. It's fun.
Well, thank you. My wife and I will do that. Thank you very much.
All right, man. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to come back. Got to take a second break of the hour. Come back with more of your calls. A lot of you on the line want to weigh in on the Penguins, who Paul Skeens reminds you of, makes you think of, some talk about Ben Cherington, Derek Shelton, all of that and more. Jason Mackey filling in for Bob Pompiani on a Saturday morning. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Let's BOGO. The Hoppin' Good Sale at Designer Shoe Warehouse is on. Buy any pair of shoes in-store or online. Get a second qualifying pair 50% off. Yep, must-have sandals, sneakers, and more from brands you love are buy one, get one 50% off at DSW. But only for a limited time, so hop to it. Fill your basket and score BOGO 50% off at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I recently found out that you can see a personal dietitian covered by insurance. There's this platform called Nourish that will match you with a dietitian based on whatever your concerns are, whether that's weight loss, eating disorders, autoimmune conditions, or something else. They're actually a network with major insurance providers, so most patients pay $0 out of pocket. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome back to the Bob Pompiani Show. Jason Mackey filling in for Pomp. I was busy in the break trying to find something a caller referenced, a Sandy Koufax, Don Drysdale doubleheader at Forbes Field at some point in the 60s. Mike from Elizabeth Township suggested it. I stopped on 1961. That's where I'm at right now. And I see September 26th and September 27th. There was a doubleheader, but they were different day. There was a doubleheader on Tuesday, and Koufax pitched. I'm getting tripped up in my notes here. That's right. Drysdale pitched the second game of the doubleheader, and then Koufax pitched the next day, September 27th. Now, the Pirates did win both games. I'll see if there's another one, though. I'm going to keep going. But as of now, that doesn't exactly match what Mike was talking about. It might have also just been maybe he had some brain fog. I don't know. All right, Lou on Neville Island, some Penguins talk. What's up, Lou?
If they can't put a playoff team together next year with the top six that they have, then Dubas and $25 million in cap space, Dubas needs to find a new job. I would add one top six, and then you're going to have a third line of McCrory, Novak, Tomasino. Imano's going to be in your fourth line. You're going to add one fourth liner. You're going to add a top pair left side defense in case you can't trade Carlson to pair with him, who is purely defense. You've got to go with the goalies you have, more or less, because you're not going to sign a free agent to a long-term deal. Because if Murashov is not late next season your starting goalie, then he's probably not the prospect you thought he was. He should be arriving late next year. He will win the first playoff series since 2017 for the Pittsburgh Penguins next year.
All right. I like it, Lou. I like almost all of your plan except keeping Carlson. If they could find a destination for him, that would be great. But I like a lot of what you were saying.
I'm all for trading him, but in the event you can't, then you know, you need somebody who's got some size, who can clear the crease, and who can play defense. And if you do move him, then he can just play with Letang. And then I think the rest of the defense will fill out okay. You might need a third pair right side who can with some jam. But I think Brinicky has a legit shot of being on the team next year from what we're hearing. So yep. That would be interesting too. So, and here's the thing real quick. You're not giving up on the youth. You're not rushing any young players. You're not sacrificing draft picks. These are free agents. So I'm sick of the media in this town saying you can't win next year, you can't rush the movement. No, you can. You can get some free agents, spend your money, and you still have all these draft picks coming. Pair Carlson with a second or a third, retain $5 million, and get him the hell out of town. Thank you.
Wow. Lou was angry, man. He came up firing. Normally you get like a, hey, thanks for taking my call. Good afternoon. What's going on? How are you? How's your day? Lou just came in hot. And the media in this town, he's sick of the media in this town. I love to blame the media people. That's great. I've actually been saying, and I think I said earlier in the show, I know I've written it. I know I've said it on other shows. I don't think it should take the Penguins that long. I think they should be competitive next year, but yeah, stupid media in this town. All right, Jason in Uniontown, you're on the fan. What's up, man?
How you doing, bud?
I'm doing great. How are you?
First of all, the Penguins will be just fine. All they got to do is try to get rid of Carlson, bring a couple other pieces in, bring some guys up from down at Wilkes. The Pirates is the big main concern. Not worried about the Penguins. Bob Nutty needs to sell the guy's darn team. He's not spending money on free agents. He's the worst manager owner in baseball. They just need to fire everybody. That's the bottom line. Today's my birthday. I had a chance to go see Paul Skeens or go to the Pirate game. I'm not going to waste my time. He doesn't want to spend money on the team. People don't need to go to games. That's just it. It's the bottom line. Thank you. Have a good day.
Have a good day. Thanks, Jason. Appreciate it. Don't get hit by a car. I would say that in perpetuity. If you don't agree with something, don't go. People email me a lot, Post Gazette email address, saying like they're not going to go to games or they're not going to contribute. Don't. Like if I had a bad meal at a restaurant, I wouldn't go back to the restaurant. If I didn't like supporting a certain business, I wouldn't support it. I don't go around feeling the need to email people about it, but if you do, all right. If you don't agree, don't patronize. That's true everywhere. All right, Anthony in Oakland wants to talk about this Koufax and Drysdale doubleheader. Hopefully you have a clue for me, man. What's up?
Oh, I have better than a clue. I was there.
All right.
It was September 1st, 1965. It was a 10:30 starting time because that's on holidays. They would start the double headers at 10:30 in the morning. So yeah, it's true. They beat Koufax and Drysdale in a double hitter.
I love it,
man.
The
game.
What do you remember from that game?
Just that it was Koufax and Drysdale. I don't remember all the intricacies. I was 10 years old, but I used to do my paper route and then I would go to baseball games. So, but I do remember Koufax and Drysdale being, Clemente had a big game in one of those games. It's kind of foggy for every inning by inning, but I do remember that. Let me say this. I think you were both 1-0 too.
All right, I'm pulling it up as you're talking, Anthony. I got 3-2 and 2-1.
Yeah, I knew it was something. It was close to that.
Yep.
Hey, let me say this. The Pirate problem is David Tepper should have, when he was part of the Steeler Foundation, he should have bought the Pirates instead of the Carolina Panthers, because that's what you need. You need a guy who's a multi-billionaire who wants to be competitive with the other owners instead of what we have. We have a facade as an owner who looks at it the bottom line, and you don't get into sports if you're looking at the bottom line. You look at that to have on your mantelpiece that you were the owner of a team that won a World Series. It doesn't matter how much it costs, and we're strapped with that, and that's why we're going to be a loser until it's sold.
All right, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You got it. Take care. Yeah, so Anthony helped us, number one, September 1st, 1965, going through this. This is fun. I like stuff like this. 10 2/3 innings for Koufax, 8 hits, 3 runs, earned 10 strikeouts. To the other point about ownership, I mean, I understand. I don't know what more anybody is looking for me to say or that we should say or whatever. Like, it hasn't been good enough. It's also not exclusively tied to dollars. And I'm not saying that the Pirates will be the Guardians or the Rays, but there's nothing preventing them from being the Guardians or the Rays or other small market teams that have success. That's why you see the Pirates building out an analytics department and focusing on the things that they're focusing on. Have they done a good enough job of that? No, they haven't. They haven't drafted and developed well enough. And anybody who wants to feel bad or feel upset about it or criticize, go ahead. I'm just going to stand here and nod because they haven't. But it's not all about money, and you know that. That's also not an excuse. All right, Joe in Verona, let's talk about the Pirates, Charrington, and Derek Shelton. What's up, Joe?
Happy Easter.
You too, Jason. Sir.
Hey, listen, this is going to be funny. I was there too, and it was a twi-night doubleheader, and I'll describe the last game. Koufax was, we won the first game 2-1. Koufax, Stargell come up. We had a run in. It was 2-1. We were losing. He hits a triple. And after he hits a triple, the next guy hits a sacrifice fly. We won the second game 3-2, but it was a twilight doubleheader. And I know that for sure. I was 19, and I thought it was in 63, but you say 65.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with Family Carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 orders. Service fees apply for 3 orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Welcome back to the Bob Pompeiani Show. Jason Mackey filling in for Bob. We're going to get back out to the phone lines, more of your phone calls. A lot about the Pirates, Steve in Virginia, Joe in Orlando, next two up. Just hang with us. We're sort of half talking about this doubleheader on September 1st, 1965. I was looking up details during the break. I'll share them intermittently. Some of you have wanted to comment on that. Just a cool event in Pittsburgh. I don't know how it came up, frankly. Somebody suggested it. I think a comparison, Sandy Koufax and Don Drysdale to Paul Skeens. So cool. We'll keep talking about it. Joel is in here. Joel, feel free to weigh in on whatever you want. It's going to be a fun rest of the show. Fan Twitter, it's brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. You can visit them at southhillskia.net. All right, enough for me. Let's go to Steve in Virginia. Wants to talk about something. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Jason, I think this is David in Virginia.
Oh, okay. David in Virginia. Okay? I'm sorry it said Steve on the screen, but you can be David, you can be Steve, you can be whatever you want, my man.
Yeah, you can call me anything you want to. Yeah, I got one quick question to ask you, and then my main point. Where is Nick Gonzalez at right now? I've heard nothing on him. I can't even find anything on the internet.
So he hurt his, I forget, it's something with his ankle. It happened when he homered.
Ankle.
Yeah, and so he's in a walking boot. He's kind of moving around a little bit. He's still a ways from returning.
Okay, so he's out pretty good. I think they could really use him right now. My main point is this. The development of this, of the Pirates is just abysmal. And, I mean, I'm thinking about O'Neill Cruz. They're going to waste O'Neill Cruz. He's never going to develop, it seems like, into the player he could be. But what's really frustrating me right now, that the last couple of games, is they've got Henry Davis up here. Davis has finally had a few hits, hit a home run. I think he has a three-game hitting streak going, and then, boom, he's back on the bench, hasn't seen the field in the last couple of games. I suspect he won't play today. They'll put him in on a Sunday rotation. And the kid needed to have a chance to just go out there and play. Have you got any idea what are they thinking about, like a guy like Henry? He's not going to develop sitting on that bench and playing every fourth game or something.
Yeah, I mean, he needs to play. I agree with you. What they're thinking, I don't know. I mean, this is still somewhat new because Henry came up here. Joey Bart was hurt. Joey Bart played for the first time in 6 days a couple days ago. They need to figure out how they're going to manage this. And I agree with you that Henry Davis, to see anything out of him, needs to get regular at-bats. And so I was on the air advocating for this the past 2 days, frankly. Put Joey Bart at first base and play Henry behind the plate and at least take a look.
Indy's another guy that's not really developing. And so you got all these players in, and you get some – I think they're going to go someplace else and develop. That's what's going to happen. And it's so frustrating. But right now, Davis, I'm really looking at because he could be – he's got a great arm. He could be – he's really learning how to receive the ball. And I think he can hit. They could use a guy like this, but they've got to let him develop. And it's really frustrating to have him on the bench.
No doubt. All right, man. Thanks for the call. Got a bunch of others I'm going to get to. Appreciate it. Let's go to Joe in Orlando. Wants to talk about the media and Bob Nutting. This should be fun. What's up, Joe?
Hey, what's up, Jason? How you doing?
I'm doing great.
The gentleman, I think what he meant to say was the New York media is relentless, right? So anybody compared to New York, I guess you could categorize as somewhat – less hard or soft, right? The reality.
Yeah, I just disagree with that assessment of how things have been handled, but I'll let you make your point, and then I'm going to make mine.
Yeah, I mean, I listen to the fan a lot. I was born and raised in Pittsburgh, and the radio is one of the primary ways you can keep up with the team. Listen, it's a much bigger conversation because there's multimedia now. It's just diverse as opposed to just print media, right? A little bit of talk radio with Myron and going back a ways. The reality is your station is very personality driven. And the nature of sports talk is not as much opinion and sports talk in terms of the fans having a say, especially your day shows. That dynamic's completely different than it was 20 years ago. So in terms of the writers and the media holding the Pirates' feet to the fire, listen, that stadium was built with a lot of tax dollars. And unfortunately, that could be looked at as a subsidy for that business. And to be quite honest with you, the owner owes nobody anything. But ethically, you would hope the guy would understand that that's part of the culture in the city of Pittsburgh.
Sure.
Which it seems like he doesn't care.
Okay.
So that needs to be said. You don't hear that mentioned much anymore about the stadium. The reality is that from a business...
Joe, come on.
I'm sorry, Jason. Go ahead.
You're telling me people don't mention that Bob Nutting should have a public responsibility to the city because PNC Park was built with taxpayer funds? I mean, that gets mentioned. I live here. We talk about that. We write about that.
Jason, it gets mentioned, but the reality is this. He knows he can have a great marketing department with great giveaways and a great ballpark, and that's cheaper than paying players. And here's what's crazy in Pittsburgh. People in Pittsburgh, especially the people on the radio, will turn around and talk about signing high-quality star talent. It's never going to happen in Pittsburgh. Here's what needs to happen in Pittsburgh. You need medium-range talent and be able to sign that and develop it. As an example, Roberto Clemente's a god in Puerto Rico, and there's a lot of Latin players. You figure if anybody could have cashed in on that aura of Roberto Clemente, it would be the Pirates, right? Yet they don't have that presence. You have to ask yourself why, right?
We do. Thanks, Joe. I appreciate it, man. I'm going to cut in there because that's something we've been saying. This is getting repetitive, that they haven't obtained talent internationally. They haven't done that enough. That can absolutely be criticized for it, right? I mean,
absolutely.
So thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. I'm going to move on to something else. I mean, it's been mentioned that there's a civic responsibility here. It's been mentioned that the ballpark is funded with taxpayer dollars. It's like an easy target to say, nobody talks about this. The media doesn't do this. Nobody's discussing this as much as they should. No, they have. I mean, whatever. I'm going to get myself in trouble. All right. Let's go to Mike in Raccoon Township. Wants to talk about Matt Gorski. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Jason. Actually, I think maybe we should get the top dog log guy to scream at Nutting. Maybe we
there
can
we
have,
go. I bet that would get him to change. I bet they'd conduct business much differently if the top dog log guy got him.
Hey, the top dog log guy makes me want to get a medical malpractice problem, okay? it's one of the most entertaining things on The Fan, all right? I just want to let you know. That's no slight. They're just that good.
That's good. I know. I'm with you. I appreciate the laugh, yeah. Man.
No problem. And I, as a Pirate fan, I'm getting tired of the repetitive comments, and I know you guys are. Nutting is who he is. And, you know, Tampa Bay has been able to do all of this because they have good – people running the show. Nutting doesn't necessarily run the show. I'm just tired. I just want to talk baseball, and that's why I want to talk a little bit about Matt Gorski. He is actually a homegrown guy. He was a second-round draft pick. He's gotten all the way up to here. He's one of the few power guys, and he actually seems to hit a little bit for average. I know every guy has some issues, but what I have a problem with, this seems like Freddie Sanchez. If you remember back in the day, Freddie Sanchez was blocked really for no reason. He was hitting the cover off the ball, and I think it was – I want to say it was Littlefield at the time. I could be wrong, but they just looked at him as a super utility player.
Yep.
And I just feel that certain guys – and I know this is across baseball, but a guy like Gorski, when you see what Jack did with the Golden Sombrero last night, why not give this guy a shot? Because I just think it makes the entire system look almost – fruitless for a guy like Gorski. I'll be quiet because I'm just a little bit upset for a guy who seems to be blocked by literally no one.
Sure. Hey, man, I appreciate the call, Mike. I'll riff on Sawinski and Gorski. I mean, number one, Sawinski shouldn't be here. I don't understand what they're doing. They're not doing the best thing for the player. They're not doing the best thing for the team. Anybody who's seen Jack Sawinski perform lately, it's not working. They need to do something else. And I don't know, maybe when they convene at PNC Park in a couple of hours and the clubhouse opens, maybe something is different. Matt Gorski, in spring, I sort of understood why he wasn't the biggest thing or why he didn't really have that much of a chance to break camp with the big club. A lot of the damage he did was in later in games when he started off games against starters, against, major league caliber players, kind of disappeared. Well, he did have a walk-off double yesterday in Indianapolis. He's had an okay start, 268 average in 15 games, and a 730 OPS. I mean, hey, I have nothing against giving Gorski a chance. At this point, you've got the offensive stats the Pirates do. Anybody and everybody should be given an opportunity, but you do need to have enough at-bats to give him, and I'm not sure those are available right now. I'd probably ride it out just a little bit. So, all right, I don't want to talk too much. Chuck in Baldwin, he wants to comment on Joe's call. We'll see where this goes. What's up, Chuck?
Hey, Jason. I really enjoy you on the radio.
Thanks, man.
You do a great job, and I watch you on YouTube. You're an asset to the Pittsburgh media landscape.
Well, you got three of those letters right anyway, but what's on your mind?
Well, with the media in Pittsburgh, generically they talk about everything. But when you've got Derek Shelton in front of you, or Noah Hyles, for example, you know, I wish he would ask him things along the lines of, you know, Derek, you cut your teeth as a hitting instructor. Which player specifically in the last 6 years can you point to that has developed under your tutelage? Or is this the roster you envisioned 6 years ago when you came here? Do you feel hamstrung by the minor league's inability to develop players? Or how is it in year six we have your options are a 5'8" cast off from the Boston Red Sox and a catcher who's barely played the position that you gave no time to in spring training to play first base? And finally, you know, after 6 years, what evidence can you point to that says you're still the man to be the manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates? Those are the types of questions that we're, as fans, we want to hear. Not, you know, what did you think of Keller's command tonight?
Okay. Yeah, I understand what you're saying, Chuck. And I think there's a version of it that you're right. I could ask more pointed, difficult questions to intentionally make guys squirm. I understand that. In other ways, I disagree with you philosophically in that our job is to ask the question. If you don't like the answers, that's on them. But I'm not discounting what you're saying. Like, it is our job to convey sentiment of the fans. And if the fan sentiment is not positive, then it's okay for the questions to not be positive. And it doesn't really matter how they take those. I always struggle. I don't want to ask a question that is also an opinion. I will write and give my opinion. I feel like the person answering that question journalistically should be given an opportunity to answer it. And honestly, Chuck, you provided a lot of examples there that are completely valid. So I'm not saying anything at you. Like, you know, you say, what in 6 years, who would you point to as positive examples? Like, that's a perfect example of an open-ended question, that it's information that is fair to ask, and then you see what he says. Or you say, you know, what have you provided? What do you feel like you've shown? And I believe Shelton has been asked this, by the way, multiple times. What have you shown to earn your job or deserve your job or keep your job or whatever? So anyway, appreciate the call. Good comment, man. It's all a good discussion.
All right. Thank you.
Take care, Chuck. All right. Where are we going to go? Dan in Mobile, Alabama, wants to talk about the Koufax doubleheader. Let's go. What's up, Dan?
Hey, Jason. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm fine. August 23rd, 1959, it was a Sunday. I was 12 years old. I was listening to both games on the radio. The Pirates took a doubleheader from the Dodgers. Don Drysdale lost both games. He started game one, lost 9-2. Game two, Larry Sherry started. Drysdale came in relief and lost the game in the 10th inning, took both losses. And Roy Face won the second game. He won his 16th game en route to an 18-0 season. There you go.
All right, man. That wasn't the doubleheader in question, though, but I do appreciate the intel.
Well, I listened to that game. I remember I was an avid Pirate fan. Well, I still am. But here I am in the South.
I love it, man. Thanks so much. I appreciate the call, Dan.
Take care.
All right, you too. Let's go to John in Cranberry. Wants to talk about the Penguins offseason. What's up, John?
Hey, Jason. I always talk to you on the sports call.
Yeah.
It's good to talk to you on the radio.
Likewise.
Yeah, you're one of my favorites. So the Pirates, I won't talk about them because if I didn't know better, I thought you'd be running the Pirates with all these calls today, and I get their frustration. I do. But the Penguins. So third year in a row not making the playoffs. So this is a big offseason for them, in my opinion. So if you're a Fenway Sports, first of all, how do you look at – I have two parts to this question. How do you look at the future of Mike Sullivan with the team? That's number one. Number two is your Kyle Dubas. What are your priorities as we head into the offseason? Is it the goaltending? Is it the defense, which was terrible this year? Is it the bottom six? What would you do, Jason, if you were Kyle Dubas, and what do you think the future is for Mike Sullivan? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it. Appreciate it, John. Yeah, so the future for Mike Sullivan is he's going to be back here. I fully believe that. If I'm Kyle Dubas, what do? I try whatever I can to trade Erik Karlsson. I try whatever I can to trade Tristan Jarry. I do think that they can trade at least one of those and preferably two. I'm going to buy out Ryan Graves. I'm going to try to scrounge up as much cap space money as I possibly can. And I'm going to hope that FSG backs me on spending it. I'm going to try to put together a team that prioritizes 25-26. I don't think that's a shortcut. I do think they have enough talent in the minor league system to win or be competitive or show Sidney Crosby that there's, Matt Wenzel used this term and I liked it, proof of concept, that there's enough proof of concept there. You need to have young guys panning out. McGroarty, Koivunen, big parts of that. Owen Pickering, Harrison Brunick could be on the team. So you need young guys coming up and contributing. But the final piece, I'm going to spend on a top six wing with speed, maybe somebody to play with Gino, somebody that can handle some of the puck carrying duties, make Gino's life a little bit easier. I might add a top 4D on the left side if I can afford it, and I wouldn't mind somebody in the bottom six with a little bit of sandpaper to their game. Goalie-wise, I'd probably go with Murashov, Larson, or Blomqvist, one of the young guys, and then figure out what to do from there. If there's enough money, I might sign somebody else, or I might just have to kind of roll the dice with Ned. We'll see. All right, going to get to Elmer in Imperial, wants to talk about the Pirates as the Browns. I've heard this comp before. Let's go, Elmer. What do you got?
Hey, Jason. Yeah, when you think about it, we've been drafting in the top 10 for 20 years with one legitimate baseball player. So the question becomes, is it the inability to identify talent or the inability to develop talent?
Both.
And then think about all the changes they need to make. Those, you change those. I mean, teams tank to get good players. We've not tanked. We're just terrible for 20 years, and we still can't get good players.
All right, man. Yeah, I mean, it's an oversimplification, but if they haven't drafted well enough, they haven't developed well enough, they haven't identified talent internationally and signed it enough. I mean, there's a lot of things that have gone wrong. Certainly, they haven't deployed it the right way. Like all of these things that make up good small market teams, they haven't done. So it's not one magical thing.
I just don't know why they don't address that. There's your issue. That's the root cause of the problem.
Well, and they're showing too much patience, in my opinion. Like, if something's not working, change it. We wouldn't be in this position. I think I've made this point before. If Bob Nutting either would have done one of two things after last season, if you would have fired the manager and shown, look, this isn't good enough, or fire the manager and general manager. I'm just saying at minimum, fire the manager. Or you go into this winter and say, you know what? It wasn't good enough. It's on me. We've got to spend some more money and build a bigger roster. And then you spend money. And then if we're sitting here 20 games in, but they've bumped payroll a pretty good amount, you're probably cutting at least a little bit of slack. You might be mad, but you say, okay, well, we grew the payroll. We got to give it time, sample size, I'd think. Thanks, Elmer. Appreciate the call. I'm going to get to CJ in Dawson, wants to talk about ownership. I'm guessing he wants to talk about Pirates ownership, or maybe he wants to talk about FSG. I don't know. Let's find out. What's up, CJ?
Hey, how you doing? No, this is about Pirates. Look, this is something that I've never heard anybody talk about, and I think about it every time I hear somebody talking about nutting and spending money. And you can pick up the torch for me on this in the future. We're not asking him to spend an exorbitant amount of money forever. We're asking him to spend, as fans, an uncomfortable amount for like 2 years. Just build for that couple of years. And we'll forgive you when it goes back. But you got to give us some hope. We're not asking for him to spend that money like that forever that it gets to be competitive. We're asking to pick a window and do it for a couple of years.
I agree with you, CJ. I think this has been talked about. Yeah. I don't think you discovered something that has been overlooked. I mean, shoot, we talked about this. I remember asking Charrington and Travis Williams this question. Here's the idea of you're going to blow it up and then build it back. Are you going to have the wherewithal or the permission to spend money when it's required? And both of them insisted yes. They said multiple times they would have the resources to spend. Right now, now is the time to spend. You should have spent in the offseason on a first baseman who can improve your lineup. They didn't. I agree with what you're saying, CJ.
Exactly. Well, thank you, sir. Have a good day.
All right. Take care. Yeah, no, nobody's missed that one. Nobody's missed that one. Nobody. I Pittsburgh people are very reasonable. They are. I grew up here. I am one. Like, nobody expects the Pirates to spend $200 million. They see Paul Skeens on the mound, the bargain that he provides, the opportunity that's in front of the Pirates, and they want him to increase payroll a little bit. I agree with that. I don't have any problem there. We're all saying the same thing. And nobody expects that to happen year over year. Just, you don't expect them to be last or third to last or whatever all the time. And shoot, I even understand. I this was reflected in my coverage, and I caught crap for it, and I don't really care. But, you know, sort of meeting the Pirates where they're at in terms of a rebuild in 2021-22. Like, they're not going to say that, but you really telling me with that roster they're trying to win? Come on. Like, that was designed. And the idea of building it back, 23, 24, 25, that hasn't been good enough. And that's not a payroll-related comment. That's just a quality wins on the field sort of idea. All right, JC in the car wants to talk about Pirates free agency. What's going on, JC?
Hey, Jason. Happy Easter. How are you?
Same to you. I'm doing well.
Okay. Hey, I just, you know, on salary information, a couple callers ago said we need two $15 million bats in the lineup and we'd be a lot better. I agree we would probably be marginally better, but I just checked. I mean, two $15 million players this year, for example, are Chris Taylor and Jamer Candelario. I don't think if you plug them into our lineup, you would sit there and say they're going to make us a playoff team. The problem is much bigger than that. We need $20, $25 million players, and we don't need them for 1 year. They're only going to sign 3- and 4-year contracts, and we're just not in a spot where this regime's ever going to do that, and it's very unfortunate. I think the biggest move they made to date was getting Spencer Horowitz. And unfortunately, he was their $15 million player. He was the guy that they targeted to be an impact bat in this lineup, and he's injured and hasn't played. And so I don't know what they do, but you have to keep dumpster diving, essentially. And Jack Swinski has had his chance. They need to move on and try to find somebody else that can fill the role that they're looking for, because they're just not willing to sign and pay veteran, experienced Major League Baseball players that are worth their salary.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, JC. I got to get to a break, and I want to make a couple points off of what you said. It makes me think of Moneyball, honestly, and here's why. You've all seen Moneyball. If we play like the Yankees in here, or if we try to play like the Yankees in here, we'll lose to the Yankees out there, or something like that. And if the Pirates try to play like the Yankees here, they'll lose to the Yankees out there. Like, the Pirates are never going to outspend anybody. They just aren't. Like, you'd like for their payroll to be higher. I agree with that. I want their payroll to be higher, too. I think there have been missed opportunities to spend, and they have left places, you know, bereft of talent or quality because they haven't spent enough. That's not saying anything different than that. With the Pirates, though, I look at, you should be a lot better at developing, at drafting, at international signing, at all of these, again, small ball things that are within their grasp. You know, they have the same access to players via international, via the draft, all this stuff, as all the other teams have. And I was going to ask JC a question, not to be a jerk, but this is a realistic thing that happens among Major League Baseball players. If somebody's going to make $15 or $20 million a year, and they're going to merit a 3- or 4-year contract, think about that. They're obviously a pretty good player to earn that money. Do you think the Pirates are the only option they have? That's why the Pirates aren't bringing in expensive players, because they don't want to play here. Until they change that narrative, we're going to be stuck banging our heads against the wall with the same thing. And that's what Paul Skeens and others talks about, you know, you have to flip the perception of the Pirates, and there has to be a group to do it first. Yeah, would I like to see Bob Nunning go out there and throw a whole bunch of money at the roster and do that and then have the players reciprocate and fans show up? Yeah, absolutely. Do I think that's going to happen? No, I don't. I think it's going to be the way it was in 13, 14, 15. You look at 11 and 12, and then they build, they get the right guys in here. Notice the drafting and development that happened back then was a heck of a lot better than what's happened right now, at least to this point. All right, I'm going to get to a break. We'll get to more of your calls next. Phone lines are filled. Appreciate it. It's been a great time so far. I love this. Want to first tell you the fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. A warning ahead of time, I am going to have to get to Noah Hiles at 1 o'clock. He's going to hop on, and then Dan Kangurski from Pittsburgh Hockey Now will join me at 2 o'clock as we finish this show. 2 hours of talking, all kinds of things Pittsburgh sports. Not that you can't call in, but it'll be much more phone call based until that time. It's Bob Pompeiani Show. I'm Jason Mackey filling in. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio, 93.7 The Fan. Welcome back to the Bob Pompeiani Show. This is Jason Mackey in for that poet, Bob Pompeiani. Here with the pomp portion of the show until 1 o'clock. Then I'll shift over to my own sort of radio program. Noah Hiles from the Post-Gazette will join me at 1 o'clock. Dan Kangurski from Pittsburgh Hockey Now will be along at 2 o'clock with some more conventional Pittsburgh sports talk, which means less of your phone calls. Go away. I don't want to hear from you. No, I'm being sarcastic. But anyway, let's go back out to the phone lines. I will ask you all, we don't have too much time left, only about 9 minutes in today's pomp show. Please get your point quickly. I'm going to try to get to as many as possible. Terry in West Virginia, baseball is dead is what he tells me. What's up, Terry?
Yeah, hey, I just feel like it's a dying sport or is dead. If it wasn't for all the past stars that with the good teams, and if it wasn't for Paul Skeens right now, nobody would care about the Pirates. And also, the Penguins are a goaltender away from being a contender. They are getting older, but we haven't had a good goaltender since Fleury. And the Steelers, too, like, you got to watch these draft picks and things of all this nature. All those are is like lottery tickets. You know, it's like a scratch-off ticket. You don't know what you're going to get. It can look good and have potential until you scratch it off and see that it's a loser. And also...
All right, Terry, I need you to wrap it up soon, bud.
Okay. Thank you.
You got it. Baseball's not dead. People do care about the sport writ large. I'm not naive to the issues of the Pirates and getting people into the ballpark. I've seen attendance. But you're telling me the whole sport's dead? I'm sorry. I'm not going there, man. I love the sport too much. You can look at the viewership across. I do agree with a lot of the changes Rob Manfred has made. They're positive. Now, if you want to be frustrated about the Pirates, you go right ahead. But don't tell me baseball as a sport is dead. All right, Bob and Baldwin. What's up, Bob?
Hey, Jason, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. Happy Easter to you.
Same to you. What's on your mind?
I wanted to clarify a couple real quick things for you as quickly as I can. That the doubleheader that the Pirates won against Drysdale and Koufax was in June, late June of 1963. I was there with my uncle and my younger brother. We were sitting right behind home plate, but up, about two sections up. And I remember a foul ball coming back. One of the Pirates hit it. Might have been Clendenin. It hit my knee, dropped in front of me. A person scooped it up before I could get to it. However, I just wanted to also say that you can look this up. You can Google it. But that's when the game was in late June 1963. I had a life-altering event at the end of the month, so I'll never forget it. And also, his wife was a distant cousin of Sandy Koufax. Second thing is Paul Skeens, the way he's come on the scene and taken the league in baseball by storm, he reminds me in our lifetime of Dwight Gooden.
That's
maybe
a good one.
Not the same maybe not the same pitches, maybe not, you know, the same personality, but he really fits the profile of a dominator to come in out of nowhere and grab everybody's imagination. And the last thing is that nothing is ever going to sell the team. He wants to give it to his daughter. So it's up to Major League Baseball to vote for a salary floor. They have a salary cap with a salary floor where he has to spend a certain amount, $120 million on players, $130 million. Oh, he'll sell the team then.
All right, Bob, thanks so much for the call, man. I got to get going. I got to cut you off here, trying to fit a lot. It wasn't 1964, by the way. I don't know what you're talking about. Late June, they did not play the Dodgers.
63.
Oh,
he doesn't hear me.
Oh.
He cut you off.
He didn't listen.
He said it wasn't 1964, by the way. It was. Wait.
It's funny eavesdropping on this conversation. Anybody else entertained by this?
Yeah, we are.
I love it.
I said 1963. I told you I would never forget it.
I'm still looking for that game, Jim. Or Bob. Oh, this is off the rails. All right. You guys have a good one. Pirates, June 1963. He's telling me there's a doubleheader against the Dodgers, that he can never forget it. I'm not seeing a doubleheader against the Dodgers. Just saying. Maybe I misheard something. I don't know. All right, let's go to Bruce in Penn Township. Wants to talk about this Koufax Drysdale myth. It's not a myth. I know when it happened, but I want to see what Bruce has to say. What's up, Bruce?
Jason, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. The game that you're talking about occurred in either August or September of 1966. And that was the year of the Green Weenie, when the Pirates, the Dodgers, and the Giants were involved in a pennant race. And it was late in the season. They came in for a doubleheader. It was fan night. People were waving fans behind home plate. They got Don Drysdale to walk off the mound. Bob Prince went crazy. But Jim Pallaroni, the Pirate catcher, hit a home run off the scoreboard clock to win the first game. And then the Pirates beat Drysdale in the second game. But it was in 1966, the year of the Green Weenie.
In what month?
It was either in August or September of 66.
Okay. And it was
a
in Pittsburgh.
Twine night doubleheader.
Twine night doubleheader.
At Forbes Field.
Yep.
You got it?
Nope. I don't.
Well, it was the year of the Green Weenie, believe me, because he got Drysdale to, Bob Prince got Drysdale to walk off the mound after he got the fans to wave these fans behind home plate.
Yeah.
He walked off the mound, then Pallaroni at home run.
All right. Now, all right, hang on. Nope, but I don't think it's a doubleheader.
It was a twine-nighter.
Nope, there was not a doubleheader against the Dodgers in Pittsburgh in 1966.
1966. You know, it may have been a makeup doubleheader, but it was definitely a twine-nighter.
Okay, well, they did not have a doubleheader against the Dodgers that year, so.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, my mind must be leaving me. I don't know, because I could have sworn it was a doubleheader.
Yep. Sorry, okay. Man. All right, take care.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, I'm just going to set the record straight here because I looked it up. Instead, we're having people throw random darts. It happened September 1st, 1965. In the first game, the Pirates won 3-2. Sandy Koufax went 10 and two-thirds innings, gave up 8 hits, 3 runs. They were earned 3 walks, 10 strikeouts. In the bottom of the 11th, Willie Stargell drew a 2-out walk, and Jim Paglianone doubled, and he scored. Earlier in that game, Willie Stargell tripled. Happened in the bottom of the 6th. Created a 2-2 tie. In the second game, the Pirates won 2-1. They beat Don Drysdale. 7 1/3 innings, 10 hits, 2 runs. They were earned, no walks, 3 strikeouts. Vern Law went 9. And the winning run came across on an error by the shortstop. Manny Mota reached. Bill Verdon scored. He and Clemente had led off the inning, I believe led off, but they singled earlier in the inning. Drysdale, again, 7 1/3, 10 hits, 2 runs. They were earned, 3 strikeouts. September 1st, 1965. All right, let's get back to a few calls here before we get going. Gary in Gibsonia wants to talk about the GM traded for an injured player. I'm sure this is Charrington and Spencer Horwitz related. What's up, Gary?
Well, I think if you look back at history, I can't remember anybody that actually traded for a player that was injured. And then
he wasn't injured at the time, Gary.
Well, he did have wrist issues in Toronto, if you looked it up.
I know, but they had a physical at the end of the season in which this injury was not on it.
Well, okay.
I'm not defending the trade. I've ripped the trade. I'm just saying that's factual.
So they had an ace in the hole in that everybody is starving for starting pitching. And they wind up going, and I understand, but I looked up his history, and he has had wrist issues in the past. And would you really give up a starting pitcher in today's environment for a player that may or may not have an injury?
No, I would not.
And my whole point is this. There has to be accountability when he makes horrible decisions, and this has been going on and on and on. And he just continues to just walk past it, and nothing does nothing. And it's frustrating because whether he's drafting, whether he's trading, whatever it is, it seems like he's always being bamboozled by the other teams. And this is, at some point you have to say, what does he do well other than have this technology department that I suppose is the envy of everybody? But I'd rather have somebody that can actually play baseball rather than sit at a computer and figure out the launch angle and the speed of the bat. And that's the problem. They don't have anybody that has baseball IQ. Bring Wainer in.
Boy, I would love that, Gary. And thanks so much for the call, man. I got to get to a break. I would love the idea of John Wainer managing. It's also not realistic. It's not going to happen. They're going to have to figure it out with what they have here. And I'll be interested to see if they can build off of some of the progress that they've made. There's been some. I don't know if it's been a lot. I do think there's some, I'll say, opportunity for the offense to improve. Something I want to get into a little bit later in the show. Right now, got to get to a break, though. Noah Hiles from the Post-Gazette coming up on the other side. We'll talk about that offense and so many more issues with the current team. Sports Radio, 93.7 The Fan.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, we got to run a business and we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because I think most of us, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.